Hey friends, thank you for joining me on the journey with Carissa and friends. I don't know if you listened last week, but my sweet friend Haven was with me talking about singleness, and I just love her perspective because it is from such a place of joy, and I think that that's so refreshing because I do think that singleness can get a little bit of a bad rap, and I don't want to minimize the difficulty of it because I do know that it can be lonely. I mean, it just can. But Haven has been able to find the joy in it. And I think that that's a testament to her faith and to God's grace and His love. And so, hey again.
Hey.
Thank you.
So excited to be here.
Thanks for keeping going with this conversation. So this is part two of our conversation on singleness. If you haven't listen to episode one, I encourage you to our first part. It's not an episode, but part one, I encourage you to listen to it because Haven will tell you a little bit about her story and her background, and you'll just get to know a little bit more about her. So we kind of left off last time talking about just your singleness journey and what that looks like, and we talked about how you have come to depend on the Lord, what you do in your day-to-day to stay dependent on Him. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you now about just being single in the single community, because I kind of equate it to working moms and stay-at-home moms. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there is, I don't know, I feel like we don't always give each other the respect that we deserve. Mm-hmm. And I know that that maybe feels like the case with marrieds and not marrieds or marrieds and singles. And so, first of all, tell me, what is some of the worst things that you've heard people say, and what should people who are in relationships not say to somebody who is single?
That's a great question. Yes. One of the most hurtful things I've heard someone say is, once you're content, then God will bring you a man.
Oh, Haven.
That could not be farther from the truth.
Are you kidding me?
I know a lot of people that were not content that started dating and got married and still struggle with contentment.
Yes, because that assumes that your ability to be happy depends on, like, it's a reward.
Right.
For good behavior. You get a husband.
Right.
Yay, good job. Oh, my goodness. Wow. What did
And at first, when I heard that, I thought, okay, so the fact that I'm in my 20s and all my friends are getting married and it makes me feel a little lonely and sad and isolated, that's wrong. I shouldn't feel that way. I should suppress those feelings, which is not true.
Right.
The Lord wants you to talk to Him about everything. Talk about how you feel.
Right. So what did that do for your spiritual journey during that time? I mean, were you established enough at the time that you felt you just brushed it off, or did it have an impact on you?
I believed it for a little while.
Yeah.
Because I thought I respected the person that I heard it from.
Yeah.
And the Lord, through His graciousness, and I remember talking to someone about it, saying, that is not true at all. I know a lot of discontent people that got married and are married.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened my eyes.
And do you feel like you had an accurate knowledge of the gospel to be able to? Because this is what I find. I find that people don't always have an accurate gospel taught to them. And so things like that are easy to buy into.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't understand that everything we do is saturated with grace. And that we don't do things to get in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Like, we do things because we get to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an act of grace that we're even in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And everything else is just a privilege for us and a learning experience for us. And that we don't, it's not like if we do this, then we get this,
mm-hmm.
right? God does bless obedience, but He doesn't steal blessing because you're not happy with your life. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it took crazy. Me a little while to learn
never
that.
Anything in the wintertime.
Exactly.
Because I'm sad as all get out in the winter.
Yes, I would say it took me a little while to learn that, but now I believe it.
Yeah.
And when I hear that, if I hear someone else say that, I'm like, no, that is not true. If I hear them tell someone else, I'm like, don't believe that.
Yes, because you actually work with singles, right? That's kind of what you do. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked a lot about that, which we will. Stay tuned because we're going to talk in the next our next time together about how you're serving. But you do speak into a lot of singles' lives. What are you seeing among them that are obstacles and challenges for them? And how do you teach them or mentor them or lead them to get to where you are? Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a lot of people being content with their, or happy in their singleness or finding joy in it?
I don't see it a lot in, you know, mid to younger 20s of single women. I do see it more as the women get older. And one thing I tell the single women in their 20s is it gets easier. The longer you're single, for me, it's gotten so much easier because I have these years behind me that I see God's faithfulness. And so a lot of people believe the lie that the longer you're single, the harder it gets. But the longer I've been single and had a relationship with the Lord, the more I've seen his faithfulness and the more in love I am with him.
Wow. That's incredible. And, you know, one thing that you have mentioned is that you look to Jesus as kind of your standard. Can you tell us more about that? Because I think that that is so perfect.
Yes. So if you look at Jesus' life, he was single and he was a man of integrity. He gave his life away. He invested in other people and helped them grow spiritually. So that's what I look for in a man that potentially, you know, I could date one day or yeah, just standards like that. And, you know, someone that loves the Lord first.
Yep. Yes. And if you are single, he's an incredible model.
Right.
You know, he had such purpose. And that's something I don't want anybody to miss. And I feel like, and you can correct me in this, but I think that in the church, sometimes people who are single are overlooked. But they have such incredible purpose and value and a place that they are extremely underutilized. Tell me what that's been like for you, if you've seen that or experienced that.
So I would say sometimes if you're sitting in church, it can seem like a sermon may be geared more towards a married person or someone married with kids. Our church has done a really good job, you know, lately of trying to really include the singles.
And okay, can we just stop and talk about this for a minute? Because we're doing the Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Okay, what has this series been like? So our series right now at my church is Love, Sex, and Jesus. And I am so proud of our leadership that they're doing this because they have not messed around. Like they have not been playing. They have talked about all the hard things, all of them. And they have been incredible about directing to singles.
And the dating and the engaged.
It has been, has this series been like for you?
It's been amazing. It has been amazing. I've loved it. And it's really, it makes you feel a part of the group.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what have you gotten out of it?
I would say just, you know, it's kind of reignited the fire of the purpose of. It's reignited the fire of the purpose and the reason that we as single people following the Lord should have boundaries and.
We're going to go back to that, but yes.
So it's just, they've done great talking about, you know, singleness, dating, engagement.
And I think they've done good too, because they talk a lot about how to be somebody who respects another person. And it's just in this situation is your spouse, right? Or your person that you're dating or whatever. But I do think that it is important to know, because you don't know what to look for until you've found it, unless somebody says, hey, this is a good model. Like I don't know that we verbally do that. I know for me, like I didn't verbally have somebody say, if you're looking for a husband, this is what it needs to be. And even if they did at that age, I would have blown it off. You know, I would have been like, he's the hot one. Let me date him, you know, which is the reason why I first started dating my husband. I only found out that he was awesome after, but
the chemistry was there. That was
good. But I will say that it was such, it's that this, the Song of Solomon and the way that it's being taught for us is such a good example of being respectful just in a relationship, mm-hmm. period. But let me ask you this. Have you really put a lot of thought into what you want in a spouse? And when you do think about it, do you ever avoid thinking about it because it makes you sad or it makes you miss some, it ruins that peace that you have in the place where you are? Because I think that some women think about it all the time, mm-hmm. and it makes them discouraged. Mm-hmm. But then I think other times, if you don't pay attention to that and mm-hmm. you don't think about that, then you're not prepared when you find it, or you mm-hmm. you might miss it, or you might, you know what I'm saying? Right. Does that make sense?
That makes, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I do pray for my future husband. Mm-hmm. I would say I probably pray for him once a month. I'll take some time and just pray. Yeah, just some qualities, you know, that he's being self-controlled, that he has integrity, that he's a hard worker, that he's fun, that we have chemistry. I pray those things. And then I don't really think about it much after that.
Okay.
I have the standard that I'm looking for in a man one day. And I would just say that I don't feel like I want to compromise mm-hmm. on those things. So, yeah, the church has done a great job of talking about those qualities. Yes. And I just kind of know when I watch a man by the way he spends his weekends or the way he interacts with people or how he treats people, you can just kind of tell, is that the type of person that you're, that I'd be interested in marrying?
Spend the rest of your life?
Yeah. Yeah. Or going on a date with.
Okay. And so here's my thing. You're 31. Mm-hmm. If you were 26, mm-hmm. I mean, what happens when these 26-year-olds jump at mm-hmm. the opportunity to be in a relationship because they don't want to be single anymore?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Just the infatuation phase, yes, wears off, you know?
Right.
So just remember that there's a honeymoon phase where someone seems perfect.
Yeah.
And so that will wear off. And so in the daily grind, is this someone that you want to go to war with? Like, life is a battle. Is this someone you want beside you?
Have you always been forward thinking, future oriented? Like, have you always been a person? Because I do think personality type plays a huge part.
I've always kind of been like an old soul. Mm-hmm. Like, I like spending time with adults, and I like older people. Yeah. And but the Lord has also just changed that mm-hmm. too. You know, there are guys that I could go on dates with right now. I could probably be married to some guys right now, but that would just be to be married. It's not someone, those haven't been men that I want to do this race with, do life with.
Okay, so what's profound about this and what's kind of clicking in my head is that some people feel like they're single and they didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually saying that you're single because you've chosen it in a way,
mm-hmm.
because you've chosen to yes. be selective, because you've mm-hmm. chosen to be completely infatuated with God, so that if anybody else comes along, you look through his standard
yes.
and say yes or no, and you just mm-hmm. haven't felt that yes yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of been a partner with God mm-hmm. in your singleness, mm-hmm. in that route that mm-hmm. you've taken. And it is a route that you've chosen to take in
mm-hmm.
a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you say to people who feel like they have to be single because God has made them be, or mm-hmm. they haven't had the choice in it and it's made them discouraged?
Right. I would just say one thing that helps me a lot is focusing on God's qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So if you focus on who he is, you won't look at the gift he's given you of singleness as a burden
mm-hmm.
or
as your hopes have been taken away from
yes,
you.
Or he's, right, or he's depriving right. you. If you think, there are so many verses about his goodness and his yeah. provision. So if we take our eyes off of ourselves and we look up, you're like, wow, the Lord is doing something, and this is the reason he has me.
It's
in
perspective.
This life stage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's perspective. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know that it can be discouraging. I have another question to ask you, but I want people to hear, single ladies, I want you to hear what Haven's saying, because she has faced, I mean, there are some 23, 24, 25 year olds listening right now, maybe even 28, who are just their singleness has become part of their identity in a way that has torn it down. And I want you to hear that if you can cling to God and you can get to the other side, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's more worth it. It
changes. Oh, I wish I could just tell you. It's changed the way I live my life. Like, I used to wouldn't buy nice pots and pans because I thought, I'll get that in a wedding shower one day. Or I wouldn't take trips because I thought, I want to take that trip with my husband one day. I wouldn't buy a car because I thought, I need to wait for a spouse. And so if you change your perspective, I mean, I take trips now. I bought my first car. I can't wait to buy a house one day. I buy nice pots and pans. So it really just changes your perspectives on life.
And so you're living your life the way you want to.
Yes.
And if your spouse comes along, great.
Yes.
But if not, then you're going to be okay.
Yes.
And listen, I think that's the way we all need to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that for me, one of the hardest lessons that I learned as a married person, and this is speaking to single people, you know, I know what it's like to want something desperately and mm-hmm. not get that yes. And mm-hmm. For me, it was with a baby, and mm-hmm. I wanted to have a baby so bad, and I felt like God had promised me that I was going to get to have one, and a year went by, a year and a half went by, and it wasn't happening, and mm-hmm. I remember the feeling of desperation that started to take over, and it consumed my mind and my heart, mm-hmm. and that's idolatry, mm-hmm. and it took me really stepping away and surrendering and looking up, mm-hmm. looking up, because I was looking down, literally at my stomach down. And it took me surrendering to God and saying, I trust you more than I trust what is or isn't happening, because I can only see a finite amount of future, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he sees it all.
Mm-hmm. He sees
and that's
it all.
That is faith. And so really what it all boils down to, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're in a marriage that you wish you would have stayed single, because what I'm seeing happening is a lot of us who got married at a young age, because I'm 38, and a lot of my generation got married really young mm-hmm. because they felt like it was the right thing to do mm-hmm. and they made the wrong choices and now they're suffering for it. And I would rather be on the other side of making a choice to stay single and be happy in it than making a choice to get married and it destroying me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm seeing happen over and even in the Christian community. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing people having to fight tooth and nail for their marriages mm-hmm. because they've made the decision with the wrong heart motivation. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, and what I hear you saying is, watch your heart. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, 100%.
It has to take place there.
Yes.
It has to.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to mamas like me mm-hmm. who have daughters and mm-hmm. I've got my dreams, mm-hmm. right? I want the wedding dress. I've only got yes. one. Mm-hmm. You had two sisters,
I have
right?
three sisters.
Three, that's right. Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. And you actually have a twin mm-hmm. who is married.
Who's married and about to have her first baby.
Yay!
I can't wait.
Has that had any impact on your contentment or your satisfaction? Are you just able to kind of separate yourself out from that?
Yes, I am so excited. I feel like if the Lord gives me my feel of, you know, kid feel from nieces and nephews, what a blessing. I get to spoil them and then send them back home.
Yes, that's awesome.
So it is, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Well, so let me ask you, so I have one daughter mm-hmm. and I have my, you know, dreams for her mm-hmm. and I'm praying for her spouse now.
That's awesome.
And I want the wedding and I want all mm-hmm. of those things and I want the grandkids. Mm-hmm. What would you say to parents who have already attached their dreams to their kids? Mm-hmm. Male or female?
Yes. I would just say, and to, as your son or daughter is growing up, to value, esteem those spiritual qualities, eternal qualities about people over, you know, idolizing marriage one day or idolizing like, oh, you have a boyfriend. I think one of the questions I get asked the most is, you have a boyfriend right now? Why not? You know, so when your child is growing up is to say, look at how this person is acting. Look mm-hmm. how selfless they were. That's what Jesus would do. Or who's the real winner in this game? It's the team that was a really good sport. Esteem qualities like that versus, you know, I want you to graduate from college and get married one day and have kids and then
that's when you reach the goals.
That's amazing.
So having a different perspective on what we should value, maybe.
Yeah, because my little girl is in sixth grade right now, and you know what? I got to admit something. I'm confessing that she actually got on to me because I bring up boyfriends a lot because I don't want her to have one. And so I'm always like, we're not going to have boyfriends. You know, we're not. But I don't know that I'm handling it the right way because I don't focus as much as I probably should on character qualities.
Yes.
I do about the boys that I want her to seek out, but it's too much focus just on boys in general.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's becoming part of her identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of stepping away from that, and it's so in middle school, oh my word.
That's so hard.
It just hit so fast. Mm-hmm. Like, it just hit so fast. And you're not ready for all the other girls that are doing it.
Or that are considered popular because they have a boyfriend.
That's what I hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. That girl is defined by her boyfriend. She wasn't cool until she got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear all the time. All the time. Is that what you hear in college too? Maybe not in those terms.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I'd say once you get to college, it's not as, strong probably as in middle school. Just relationships in general are esteemed in our culture, okay. I feel like.
It's so true.
So.
How does that make you feel when somebody says, do you have a boyfriend yet? Like, what do you want? How do you want to react?
Yes.
And then how do you make yourself react?
So I would say one thing that is weirds people out the most, I haven't even kissed a guy in 13 years.
Wow.
And so people are like, don't you just want to go kiss someone on New Year's Eve or something?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you?
No, not really. Since I've waited this long, I'd rather just wait, So.
So time really is working in your favor.
Yeah, time.
In this.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've made some solid decisions about what you want.
Yeah.
And that has a large, that's when I say look at your heart and really.
And it's the Lord and His protection and His guidance and good friendships and good accountability. And just, I would just want to encourage women to weigh what the culture says versus what the Lord says and His goodness. And he is so good, and what he says brings freedom, and his burden is light, And so just the pressures of, the peer pressures and the pressures of culture, just remember that that's not a lot of times what the Lord says.
And I just can't stress enough, I'm a counselor by trade, but my passion in life is spiritual direction and coaching. And mentoring and discipleship, like all that kind of stuff right there. And y'all, marriage is so hard. I mean, it's hard. And I know that having that person there looks really good because I've talked to enough single ladies. I know the heart that's behind it. And it's not bad. God said we're not supposed to be alone. Like it's natural to long for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is really hard, and I can't stress enough how much I agree with you. Set a determination not to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. You are more valuable than that.
Yes.
I mean, you just are.
Mm-hmm.
You're more valuable to God, and I would much rather be sitting here today just like you, having a deeply rooted, profound relationship with God and be single, than be in a marriage where I am dying inside and they are everywhere. They it's borderline epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, because it's the heart. They have not made decisions in their heart to do what's right for themselves, what's best for themselves, and what's best in God's eyes, because there is so much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. What are some resources that you value?
I love this question. One of the biggest resources that I would say would be helpful for women in college or their 20s is a book. It's a 6-week study, actually, called Sex and the Single Girl by Dr. Julie Slattery.
I've heard about this.
And it really helps shape a view of God's view on sexuality, because we do have such a sex-saturated culture that focuses on relationships. And I would say that is a really good resource.
Yeah. Do you guard yourself with what you take in?
I try to. Mm-hmm. I do try to.
Because of the temptations that come mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sure. as a single person, you have sexual desires. Yeah. You all have sexual desires. And so if you guard your mind and your thoughts and what you watch and what you listen to, like sometimes I'm driving and I have to just change the song.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, and our television.
Oh, yes. That just guarding your mind helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sex and the Single Girl. Mm-hmm. By Dr. Julie Slattery. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else are you kind of, who are your go-tos mm-hmm. to keep you motivated and yes. keep you encouraged?
There is another really good book by Kim Vollendorf called Loving Your Husband Before You Even Have One.
Ooh, okay.
That is a great book.
I'm going to try to include these when we post the podcast, when the podcast becomes available. I'm going to try to post these so that they have those resources in there
great.
Too. Yeah.
Yes. I would say start with those two. And then I listen to podcasts and...
Who's your favorite?
Hmm.
That sounds fun. Yeah. It's got to be on your list because I've listened yeah. today. I love Annie F. Downs. I love her perspective on singleness and dating mm-hmm. and she's
yes.
awesome.
I also love the Porch app. So have you heard of the Porch?
No.
It is a young adult ministry in Dallas and they have several podcasts or just series on dating and singleness and God's view. And that is huge.
Wow.
So that has...
Okay, the Porch
yes,
app.
And they have like okay. 3,000 to 4,000 young adults attend their meeting on Tuesday nights wow. each week, and they have some great podcasts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what, on a scale of 1 to 10, and I hope that you say 10, but I won't set you up, is the importance on a mentor?
Oh,
it needs to be
10.
Like 11 or 12 or
oh,
13.
By far, because we cannot figure out life on our own. Yeah. Our thoughts will deceive us. We never want to we try to justify our actions.
Yes.
And so having a mentor and having accountability is huge. Yeah. And make sure it's someone that is spirit led. So someone that is listening to the spirit, they're spending time with the Lord. Because a lot of people can give their opinions.
Right.
But someone that is spirit led, that's different.
Yes.
And so definitely a mentor.
Okay. So is your mentor single?
She's married.
Okay. How did you make that decision?
She's in her 60s. I made the decision because I watched her life mm. and she doesn't have any, they decided not to have physical children. So they have so many spiritual children. And so I've watched the way that she has interacted with women and mentored them and discipled them. And so we've actually been meeting for 7 years probably
right.
now. So, yeah, that's.
Well, and she can relate to you. It's a different circumstance, but the heart behind it is still, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're partnering with God in a way that's kind of countercultural, mm-hmm. where the world says you have to have this to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And you've decided, no, God is the one who fulfills me.
Mm-hmm.
I get to make that decision mm-hmm. for myself, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming and finishing this conversation. I think it's incredibly important.
Thanks for having me again.
And if
there's any women that contact you that would love to talk or...
Okay, that was my very last question.
Yes.
Are you willing to, if there's a, we're in the Little Rock area,
mm-hmm.
and I know there's a lot of singles in this area that don't really, maybe don't have that person available or they're mm-hmm. seeking and it's hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
How could they reach you to get more information?
Please don't hesitate to email me. My email is haven.jaggers@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And what are your socials?
My social media?
Yeah.
Oh, my Instagram is havenjag.
Okay.
And then you can just find me on Facebook at havenjaggers. And I would love to talk. I would love
yes.
anybody that needs encouragement.
Listen, you are the perfect person to do that. Like, just
because, it's all because of the Lord.
Yeah. And he's given you this incredible optimism about life that I think all of us need to have. We all need to have a perspective that is centered on, God, do what you want with me. I'll take it. It's such a surrender that inspires me.
We just just have such a short time on this earth, and then we have eternity with the Lord. And so whatever we can do to be in love with the Lord and help grow his kingdom. And if he wants me to be single, so be it. I'm excited. I get to be with him, you know, in not too long. So,
I mean, we're going to close on that word for sure. So thank you, Haven. Thank you guys for listening again. If you are single, y'all, I love you. I just have such a special place in my heart. You are so valuable to the kingdom of God. And I don't ever want you to miss out on the opportunities to use your gifts or to rise to the occasion the way that Haven has to. I mean, I look for single women in my life because they inspire me in my faith. I love it so much. So thank you, Haven, so much for your words of wisdom. And if you are single, don't hesitate to look her up because she is a joy and precious. And also, she can guide you to some ministries in the area because she does work a lot with single ministry to kind of get fed and get that community that she's talked about both episodes, part one and part two. And we really want you to have that. So thank you, friends, for being with us at On the Journey, and I'll see you next time. Bye.